Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and today's Motivational AIM targets one day anyway. For those tuning in, if you're not aware, I started a five-day podcast series entitled Debunking Sex Myths with the Word of God from a Bible plan I wrote a while ago with the same title. My aim for creating that Bible plan was to encourage individuals and enlighten individuals regarding a few known myths someone might hear as it relates to sex, relationships, and one's determination to live a committed life following Jesus Christ in God's will, word, and way. There are a lot of distractive noises that seek to get a person off of God's targeted plan for their lives, and if one doesn't know God's word and what God is saying, then they are bound to fall for anything. Now, when one is in a relationship with someone and they are conscious and well aware of the choices and consequences they are making, the decisions they make are all on them. But before a decision is made, it is vitally important to see if that decision will produce an outcome that will produce positive or negative consequences from one's actions. So that is why I created the Bible plan, because Jesus is the standard. And God has created every good thing for a specific time in each of our lives. So over the next couple of days, you will hear me reiterate that. And today's motivational aim, as I stated earlier, is one day anyway. And I want to go ahead and apologize in advance because you will hear some background noise. You will hear it. But we will press forward and press through anyway. That's just what we're going to do. So back to the Bible plan. One day anyway. This is a phrase I believe some listeners have heard as it relates to two unmarried people who are in a relationship, spending time together, interested in each other, and they want to progress in their relationship, and sex appears to be the next step in someone's mind. So instead of doing it the right way and going through the right door, statements can be made from the people involved or outsiders looking in, wanting to provide some advice to go ahead or for the couple to go ahead and have sex outside of marriage. And some outsiders or people who are trying to provide advice might say, it's all right. Y'all are going to get married anyway. Or someone in the relationship says, it's all right. We'll get married one day anyway. And that is a sex myth in need of major debunking, because some people make that statement because they want what they want. And it's nothing wrong with being in love. It's nothing wrong with being in a relationship and wanting to grow together and wanting to get married. But it is something wrong with saying statements to give an illusion that when one engages in a deep, intimate act, then there is a possibility that y'all will get married. Because situations occur where both parties involved have sex, and then afterwards one person is so emotionally attached where the other one is distant. Or both parties are emotionally attached and emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually scared because of engaging in a blessing out of season. Or you have some couples who engage in sex and then they don't realize what can be produced from the act, which is a child. And don't misunderstand me, there is nothing wrong with children and babies. But when one is not mentally, emotionally, physically, or financially ready, then this produces a host of other issues that could last for a long time, especially when other people get involved. Now, am I saying that when you wait to have sex, when you're married, you will not experience any issues or trials? No, I am not saying that. But I am saying that when you aim to live a life following God's word and will for your life, you are staying in the protective covering from some things that you don't have to deal with prematurely. And don't misunderstand this podcast. Don't take it as an attack. Don't take it as, somebody's judging you, because nobody's judging you. Don't take it like that. This is just me encouraging you to walk through the process of understanding and doing better. No one is calling you a bad person. No one is calling you unloved. No one is attacking you, so you shouldn't receive this as an attack whatsoever. This is encouragement, and not only encouragement for you, but if you know anybody who is about to go down a road the wrong way or going through the wrong door at the wrong time, you could be that light to encourage them. That's what this is about. It's about being free. It's about being redeemed. It's about just living a life of understanding, wisdom, and discernment. So please do not take this as an attack. Some people might just want to, oh, I don't want to listen to this series. If you don't want to listen to this series, you don't have to. Of course, you already know that. But the aim of me writing and doing this podcast and this Bible plan was to encourage individuals who possibly were going down a road or going through doors where they were not receiving the results. And if they did change and they're trying to follow God's will, word, and way, you have outsiders who talk about them, make fun of them, make them feel less than, and then make them doubt the promises of God and God's commands for their life, where it's just so overwhelming, they feel desperate, where they could turn and do things only to find out on the other side it's not what they thought. And you have a lot of people who go through that. And then there's not a lot of people encouraging people. Then you have a lot of people who are not strong. They're not strong to just stick it out. And it's no attack on them for not being strong. Sometimes people just don't have the wisdom. They don't have the support system. They don't have it. And my aim is just to encourage individuals, to let you know it's nothing wrong with waiting to have sex until marriage. It's nothing wrong if you've already had sex and you realize, hey man, this way ain't the right way. So let me do it God's way to see what God has for me. So that's the aim. It's not an attack. It's not an attack. It's not a judging you. That's not what I'm doing. And don't allow Satan to use insecurities as an inroad in your life to make it look like, man, Dr. Kenitra Bryant talking about you, man. No, she not. No, she is not. She's encouraging you. So if you want to take a moment to pause this podcast right now in the middle of it and just pray and ask God, Lord, let me hear what you want me to hear. And I ask that you encourage me in your will, word, and way. Matter of fact, we can pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you right now thanking you for this day. We thank you for blessing us with wisdom. We thank you for blessing us with encouragement. And we thank you for blessing us with your word. We thank you for the promises stated in your word. And we also thank you for the commands you've placed in your word for us to follow for our protection. Lord, lead us and guide us and take away any insecurities, any doubts, anything trying to hinder us from hearing the truth as it relates to your will, word, and way for our lives. Thank you for blessing us to be a light to others. And thank you, Lord, for forgiving us for everything we've done. Thank you for comforting us, leading us, protecting us, guiding us, and just watching over us. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy, pleasing, and acceptable in your sight. And I pray that the words that I state are a reflection of you. And I pray that individuals are strengthened and encouraged and empowered when they hear your word. Lord, we lift your name up. We thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty, magnificent name we pray. Amen. So as I previously stated, when someone waits to have sex until marriage, when they're married, it doesn't mean that they're going to be exempt from any issues or trials. But what I am saying is that when you aim to live a life following God's will and word for your life, you are staying in the protective covering from some things that you don't have to deal with prematurely. That is why God's word is there for us, to protect us, to guide us, as we actively live and follow what he says. But what happens is sometimes we jump into situations because somebody, or we might say it, that, okay, we'll get married anyway. And that's to justify a situation, and that isn't wise. And if you've made decisions that you're not proud of, this is not the time to go and cry. It's just a time to go ahead and repent, hold your head up, and realize, okay, now I know better and I can do better because God forgives me, God loves me, and I will aim to live a life that God wants me to live. And I understand nobody is perfect whatsoever. And God is not condemning any of us. And we should not condemn ourselves. But if this statement comes up, the person stating it might be telling the truth. Like, y'all might get married one day. That might be true. So if y'all might get married one day, why not wait to get married until that day and then have sex and do what God told you to do? What's wrong with waiting if we're going to wait for that one day anyway? But some people use that statement to rush a process, to justify something, to get what they want, all while easing the apprehension of someone else to make them feel like, it's okay, it's going to happen one day. And that goes back to my statement. If it's going to happen one day, okay, let's wait till that one day. Let's wait. And if we wait, and as we wait, let's see who runs or who stays. See, that statement drives or draws. Now, if that was not the person's true intention who made the statement, like I said just a minute ago, they were just saying that to relax someone's nerves and make them feel better for doing something outside of God's will at that time. But it will be exposed if you make the suggestion to wait. But if someone really wants the best for both of you, they will respect God's word. They will drop the issue and wait until marriage as they pursue this marriage commitment with you. That is why you have to test the spirit by the spirit, because some people will tell you anything to get everything from you. And that's what we aren't doing. Okay, so continuously ask God for wisdom, discernment, revelation, knowledge, and aim to purposefully follow God's commands. God's word continuously tells us to follow his commands, and we are not called to disobey God. Do what we want to do whenever we feel like it and expect the blessing of God in return for our disobedient acts. That is not how God operates. Even if you have intentions on someday doing what is right whilst doing what God considers wrong, it will not bring forth a positive consequence in our lives. So no one can manipulate God to bless sin and disobedience. Nobody can manipulate God to do that. And we see a situation like that in Scripture where God commanded someone to do something a certain way at a certain time, because it was for that person's best interest, protection, and the protection for who that person impacted. But this individual did what they wanted to do their way because they had the attitude, well, it'll be blessed anyway. God won't trip about this. It's only one day anyway. I'll just ask God to bless what I did wrong and it'll work out. This person didn't realize that what God says is what he means, and it's not a game of doing what we want one day and thinking God will bless sin anyway. No. So I'm about to read 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, the 1st through the 3rd verse, and then I'm going to jump to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, and the 7th through the 23rd verse. But I encourage you sometime today or sometime this week or whenever you have an opportunity to read 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter in its entirety, and ask God to reveal to you what he wants you to know and do as it relates to his word. Okay, so let me go ahead and read. This is 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, in the 1st to 3rd verse. Samuel told Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people Israel. Now listen to the words of the Lord. This is what the Lord of armies says. I witnessed what the Amalekites did to the Israelites when they opposed them along the way as they were coming out of Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and completely destroy everything they have. Do not spare them. Kill men and women, infants and nursing babies, oxen and sheep, camels and donkeys." Then Saul struck down the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is next to Egypt. He captured King Agag of Amalek alive, but he completely destroyed all the rest of the people with the sword. Saul and the troops spared Agag and the best of the sheep, goats, cattle, and choice animals, as well as the young rams and the best of everything else. They were not willing to destroy them, but they did destroy all the worthless and unwanted things. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. "I regret that I made Saul king, for he has turned away from following me and has not carried out my instructions." So Samuel became angry and cried out to the Lord all night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up to confront Saul. But it was reported to Samuel, Saul went to Carmel where he set up a monument for himself. Then he turned around and went down to Gilgal. When Samuel came to him, Saul said, "May the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." Samuel replied, "Then what is this sound of sheep, goats, and cattle I hear?" Saul answered, "The troops brought them from the Amalekites and spared the best sheep, goats, and cattle in order to offer a sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we destroyed." "Stop," exclaimed Samuel. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night."
"Tell me," he replied.
Samuel continued, "Although you once considered yourself unimportant, have you not become the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel and then sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and completely destroy these sinful Amalekites. Fight against them until you have annihilated them.' So why didn't you obey the Lord? Why did you rush on the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight?"
"But I did obey the Lord," Saul answered. "I went on the mission the Lord gave me. I brought back King Agag of Amalek, and I completely destroyed the Amalekites. The troops took sheep, goats, and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was set apart for destruction to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal." Then Samuel said, "Does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much in obeying the Lord? Look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and defiance is like wickedness and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king."
So you just heard what I read, and if you were reading along, you saw it for yourself. God gave clear instructions for Saul through the prophet Samuel to go and strike Amalek and completely destroy everything they had, which included man, woman, child, infant, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. The reason God called Saul to complete this task of taking out the enemy was because God saw how the enemy treated his children. And as a cross-reference, you can take some time to read Exodus, the 17th chapter, and the 8th through the 15th verse. I encourage you to read those scriptures in addition to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, in its entirety, so you can get some information and background knowledge of what was taking place. But Saul disobeyed God
by sparing Agag the Amalek king, the best of the sheep, oxen, fatlings, lambs, and everything that he thought was good. But what appeared to be the best to Saul was not. It was deplorable. It was unacceptable in God's sight. And that is a lesson within itself, because when God tells us to destroy some things, which I'm referring to destroying, deals with destroying one's lifestyle that goes contrary to God's word, we are called to destroy certain behaviors that go contrary to God's word. We are commanded to destroy some thoughts that go against God, destroy some acts that are displeasing to God, destroy mindsets, destroy lack from our life, all these things that go contrary to God's word. We're called to destroy those things. And when God calls us to let things go, and when God tells us to destroy some things in our lives that are not conducive to his will, word, and way, we need to do it. And don't think, well, I mean, it's not all that bad. I'll keep the best of what God told me not to keep, because I can still do A, B, or C, or X, Y, and Z, and still follow God. And I can give God the very thing he told me to let go of as a blessing and as an offering. I can keep what I think's the best, and I ask him to bless that. No, that's unacceptable. That's like a person in charge of a outside camp. Let's say they're in charge of a campsite, and they have somebody working for them, and they go tell a worker, hey, I want you to go over to that tent. I want you to wear this special suit. You have to put this special suit on, and I need you to go over to that tent, and I need you to go burn everything up in that tent. That is your job. That is your mission, is to burn up everything. The tent and all the contents in it. Make sure you do it. That's that person's only task. And they're told to wear the suit, the special suit, for their safety. And once again, they're told, whatever you do, burn that tent up. Don't focus on what's in the tent. Just burn it up and report it back to me and let me know when you've done it. And then the person who's told to go burn the tent up, they put the special suit on. They go to the tent. And then they look inside. And when they go inside, boy, they see all these expensive jewels, all this jewelry, diamonds. They see millions of dollars in stacks on the ground. They see beautiful paintings and expensive home decor worth millions of dollars all in this tent. And they think to themselves, man, well, if I was told to burn it up, that means nobody wants it. And if nobody wants it, I can take it. And if I was told to burn it up, then that means nobody will miss these items. So let me go ahead, get my car, pop the trunk, and start loading this up. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and call a U-Haul. And they actually call a U-Haul. They consider, hey, let me go ahead and tell my siblings and my in-laws to come over here so we can hook this up. Then they change their mind. They're like, nah, because if I call them, they don't know how to act. Just let me go ahead and do this for myself. So they take all these items out of the tent. They take them to their house. Take all the items to their home. And then they go back and they burn the tent up. And after they do that, they go home again and they start spending money. They putting money in church. Taking money to the church. They taking money to their family members. They taking people out to eat. They giving all these lavish tips. Living large and taking charge, okay? And this has been going on for weeks. And then one day that person's boss tells them, I need to talk to you. I need you to come in my office. So they go in there. Yeah, your boss, what's up? And they ask me, hey, did you burn up their tent? Yeah, boss, I burned up the tent. Did you burn up the contents in the tent? What? Did you burn up the contents in the tent, son? No, I didn't burn up the contents. To see, what I did was I took the things out the tent. And there was a lot of money in there. I didn't think that you wanted the money, but I went on and took the money and the jewels, and I gave it to the church. Had to give it to the church. You know, I had to pay my tithes and give the offering, because, you know, I've been trying to do some at church. So I gave some money to the church, took my mom on a couple of trips, took my daddy X, Y, and Z. bought people houses and did all these lavish things. And then the boss communicates with this person that they were advised to follow instructions and burn all of the contents in the tent and the tent up for a reason, because what you think and what you thought was valuable was not valuable. And what you thought meant something didn't mean what you thought it meant. And the things that you thought were acceptable, they were absolutely disgraceful, because every item in that tent that you were commanded to burn was infested with an incurable infectious disease that when anyone touches it, they will need immediate medical attention and they could possibly die behind it. Now the person who did not follow instructions realizes that what they thought was acceptable is now unacceptable. What they thought was valuable was indeed not valuable at all, because they put people at risk because they thought they knew what they were doing, even though they were under strict commands to do something for their protection, even though it didn't look like that at the time. See, following instructions and commands are not to restrict us from enjoying our life. Instructions by God and in God's word is set up to protect us. And that is similar to what happened with Saul and that example that I just gave. Okay, this example was for us to see the importance, and God's word, most importantly, is for us to see the importance of following what God says, even when we think we can handle what he tells us not to do. Saul justified what he thought was all right and pleasurable to do, but in actuality, Saul disobeyed God. And there's no justification when we intentionally go against God's word thinking that, well, it'll work out if I do A, B, and C because I'll eventually do it God's way one day. No, aim to do it God's way today. What Saul thought was the best in his deliberate act of disobedience turned out to be detestable and undesirable in God's holy and precious sight. And that is the same with us. We could say, oh, well, I'll do this today, and then eventually one day I'll do it the right way. Who said you had time or I had time to do the right thing when we wanted to? What's wrong is wrong. Once is wrong is wrong, and only Jesus can right wrongs against us. But intentionally doing things that we know we should avoid, that's all on us, whether it's sex outside of marriage or any sin. Does it mean God doesn't love us? Absolutely not. Does it mean God will abandon us? No. But it does mean that God loves us enough to give us consequences for our actions, and we have to go through those consequences. And those consequences can serve as the major wake-up call in our life. Justifying sin for temporary pleasures with the promise to make it right one day is abhorrent to our Heavenly Father. There are consequences to every action, and we are called to obey God at all times. So since you know better, what will you do? And since you know better, how will you influence and impact others to do the same? This is not a time to get depressed. It's just a time for self-reflection, redirection, and correction, okay? So go ahead and let God know how you feel. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him what to do and what steps you need to take, and begin reading and living what his word says. And ask him for revelation. He will give it to you. Ask him for wisdom. He will give it to you. Okay, and a scripture I would like to leave you with is 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, in the 22nd verse, which reads, "But Samuel replied, 'What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice.'" The reason I selected this scripture as a reminder for us all is because when you take the time to read 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, in its entirety, I know I keep saying that, you will look back on this verse and you'll see it clearly, that God gave Saul instructions to follow, and Saul did what was pleasing in his sight opposed to doing what was pleasing in God's sight. And he tried to justify it, but no matter what he said or how he said it, he could not justify the wrong he did. With the attempts of, let me do this today because I'll have an opportunity to do right one day. And God doesn't want us offering him and giving him the very thing he told us not to do, and then wanting him to bless what he told us not to get involved in doing. It's wrong. And it's as if we're telling God, hey, I'm going to do it my way, okay? And hey, I want you to bless it too. That's wrong. It's better that we obey God and honor what he says because he is all-knowing and he knows what dangers are ahead. God also knows the consequences we can't see, the hurts associated with not following instructions and obeying him, all while we think we can just do it our way. We can't blame anyone when God tells us specifically to do a task or follow a command and we're the ones in control of our actions and decisions. It's all on us. So we either have to be willing to stand for God even if we stand alone, even when someone says, I mean, just do this and just do that. It's not that big of a deal. You'll be okay. Ask God for forgiveness later. No, sir, no, ma'am. Going in knowing and doing something intentionally contrary to what you know is right, that is all the way wrong. Repent from that mindset. Shoot, destroy that mindset. Walk away and do what God says. So remain encouraged. Aim to be bold, even though you have these songs, these movies, some people, some so-called friends and family members who want to direct you in the wrong direction and they want to acquiesce to the world's way instead of God's way. No, aim to do what's right. Aim towards your God-honoring target. Okay, it's always better to do it God's way, even though you're uncomfortable. And even when people laugh at you or walk away from you, God will take care of that. Don't worry about that. Remember, God is with you and he will never leave you. It's our aim and our goal to follow God's word, aim towards God-honoring targets, and leave the consequences to him. Okay? Thank you all for tuning in and feel free to connect with me on Instagram at encouraging you to stay in the loop on updates and other encouraging posts. And if you have a moment, visit drkenitrabryant.com where you can download this Bible study for your individual or group devotional time. And also you can download the YouVersion Bible app and subscribe or begin the Debunking Sex Myth Bible Plan. And you can start to engage in that Bible study with your friends, your coworkers, your classmates, individually or collectively. And if you choose to download the Debunking Sex Myth study guide from my website, you can do those study questions and listen to this podcast and then create a Bible study experience from those resources. But either way, just aim to saturate yourself in God's word so you can know the truth. And also aim to have a great day, y'all. Peace and God bless.